Today's episode of The Mom Game is brought to you by our friends at Gateway Buick GMC at LBJ and Jupiter. I know that buying a car can be stressful, but not at Gateway because their slogan is, Gateway's got it. And just what does that mean? Well, it means Gateway's got a wide selection of new Buicks, GMCs, and GM-certified used vehicles, all competitively priced. Gateway's got it. In these busy times, you want a car dealer who makes things easy and convenient. Well, guess what? Gateway's got it. When you log on to gatewaybuickgmc.com, look for the shop, click drive button. This allows you to shop from the comfort of your home, and who doesn't want that? In fact, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, select your vehicle. 2, create your offer. 3, schedule your delivery. And on top of all this, Gateway Buick GMC offers complimentary car washes for life. So when you want a dealer who has it all, Gateway's got it. You can find them online at gatewaybuickgmc.com or shop in person at LBJ and Jupiter. GMC, we are professional grade. Experience the new Buick.
You can take that car from Gateway Buick GMC and you can drive it to Golden Chick and get you some chicken. Right now, guests can get the Sweet Heat inspired hot honey sriracha sauce through September 1st. So not for much longer. So go get you some right now. It is coated atop Golden Chick favorites like those delicious crispy hand breaded wings and the ever popular Golden Tenders for a fiery flavor experience. Golden Chick did something very cool for this. They went straight to the source. They asked their loyal brand followers what they wanted to see on social media. They didn't make the decision for them. They asked them, what do you guys want on your chicken over here at Golden Chick? And it was an overwhelming selection. The new hot honey sriracha was the one that they wanted to see. This Swahit sauce was crowned the winner. It combines the bold flavors of garlic and red chili peppers with sweet honey, and that helps balance that spice. It's very important. You don't want it too spicy. You don't want it too sweet. You want it Swahit, the perfect combination of both. They've also debuted the Swahit combo with 3 delicious wings and 2 100% tenderloin tenders covered in the hot honey sriracha sauce and served with a fresh baked yeast roll, savory southern style side, and a 30-ounce beverage. Golden Chick has something for everybody, something for the whole family. Go get you some Golden Chick and tag us on social media when you do, and maybe we'll send you a big prize.
A big prize. But always vague. We'll
maybe,
just maybe, we'll send you a very ambiguous big prize.
You won't know if you don't try.
Exactly. Welcome. Hold on. I have to... Please don't yell at me. I have to send this.
You're texting during our...
I am.
During our open?
I am. Sorry. And now I'm done.
Okay.
Welcome to episode 233 of The Mom Game inside the Coppola Studios. If you haven't noticed, it's not quite a full bottle because Julie and I have... We've had a day already.
Weeby's drinking.
It's been a day. It's been a morning for us. I don't know. We don't have to get into all of it, but I think everybody in general is a little scattered right now.
Yeah.
Trying to get back in the back-to-school routines, all the things. And it takes a little bit. We've also got some influx going on. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Things are in flux?
Things are in flux. Yes. Things are crazy AF around here. And that's for a good reason, an exciting reason that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show. So we got a lot of balls up in the air in here. So we'll get to those. But I think first and foremost, it's been this whole getting back in the swing of things with kids and school and all that kind of stuff. So, Julie, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It probably doesn't seem that way, but I really am. I'm trying to sort through a lot still work-wise, you know, and that's stressing me out, but I love not having to go to work.
Go to an office.
That is number one for me, and I think I've decided that at least moving forward. It's like whatever I do, I don't want to be committed. I don't want to be indebted to anybody's schedule except for hours, whatever we need to do, which I'm obviously not very even good at.
You're okay.
But I just want to be like I wake up and I don't have that stress feeling because I know I can just take my time. I have a lot to do, but I can do it on my own time.
Right.
And so I feel like that's huge. And that's what I've kind of wanted for a long time. And
you wanted the flexibility.
Yes. And I thought I was there, and then the freak happened out of nowhere, and I was like, well, crap, I have to do this and at least give it a shot.
Yeah.
So that's good. And it's so good because you know how much I struggled not picking the kids up from school and being there until 7 o'clock essentially. And then they, all that. So just being there after school and like seeing the school pick up and taking them to activities and, all the activities are starting. They started last week. So getting to be there and then by way of being at all of that, you get to talk to moms more and, you know, make plans and have more friends. And I think it was kind of isolating, like just not being in that circle.
Yeah.
So, all that to say I'm good. Besides like 1 month of like, I have 1 month till I have to figure out like work. But like you alluded to, like there's a lot of really good stuff in the pipeline and I think it's going to be okay. I'm just trusting that it's going
to
be okay.
And it's a hard place for you to be in.
Yeah.
Obviously. Like I, you know, it's because you feel like you're, it's unsettling, right? Mm-hmm. You have an unsettled feeling. And when I have an unsettled feeling, it does not bode well for anyone around me or myself. So I get it. And I know you're going through it and I'll try to be here for you as much as I possibly can. But I think we all have that regardless. Like, so I have it right now. Like I'm getting, and we've talked about this, you know how like before I go on a long road trip or something, I get the anxiety. Now, my month of September is bananas. And so I'm having that to where I'm like, my kids' schedules now are so insane. Trying to juggle those for, you know, the last month of the baseball season is kind of daunting to me. But I found that like if I can write shit down, if I can make a plan, if I can have a plan, if I can try to, and this is only me because I have very special, I'm just wired very specially.
God made you special.
God made me so special.
That's one of our topics.
It is. That if I can write, like write down a list of like, this is the shit I need to get done before this stretch starts.
Yeah.
And then if I can get to that point, then I'm like, okay, or, you know, or prioritize those things. I don't know. And then, but like with you, like once the off season hits, then it's a completely different set of like unsettledness to where it's like, okay, how exactly now do I structure my days? And I get a little bit of that during baseball season because I'm only working 65 games. But it's, I don't know, it's just this constant state of trying to figure out how to get shit done and how to tackle shit, how to keep your family alive and happy and a roof over your head and paying the bills and all that kind of stuff. And so I get it. And I know that you're in a spot right now where you're like, you feel like the time's kind of ticking down as far as your severance is concerned and you got to figure some shit out. And so I get it.
Yeah.
And well, I love you.
And I get where you're at.
And we'll, you know, we'll,
yeah,
it's all seasons of the year and seasons of life. And we're going to get through this shit together, girl.
Well, and that's the beauty of the mom game.
Yeah.
And everything you just said is so true because I feel like work and you just kind of put working and not and being home side by side and why they're both hard. Like when you're working and you have a busy schedule, you know that you have to prioritize and you know that you have to have this really like, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And when you're home, even if you're working from home, it's that little bit of like freedom that almost makes it. And I think maybe that's where a little bit more of, I guess at this point, yes, anxiety in me is coming in.
Yeah.
Because you wake up and you're like, I know the best thing for me is to like just go exercise.
Yes.
Well, first of all, you don't sleep much.
Yeah.
And then you're, instead of exercising, you start working or you start this or you start that. And then you get on one thing and then, you know, we've talked about it. So I think both are hard.
Yeah. And I think too, what's helped me, and obviously I'm a very special individual that is very structured and all that kind of stuff. It's, and as people, you know, my girlfriends tease me that, you know, and then I'm borderline crazy and you're a robot or whatever. But to me, like you bring up the working out.
Yeah.
Like now with a new school routine, Henry's got to be out the door at like, he wants to leave at 6:12 so he can get to football early. So my whole goal, even if I'm not taking him, because Mike takes him a lot of the time, I take him sometimes. My goal is to get up, make Henry breakfast, wake him up, go immediately and get on the Peloton. And then I am off in time and to get him out the door or take him to football. And so for me, that also translates. And listen, it's not like I'm doing this every single night. I've been good so far. We're like 10 days in. So whatever. But, you know, I'm like, that makes me go to bed earlier. It makes me get sleep. I pop my early birds at around 9 p.m. And then, so when I wake up at 5, then I've gotten at least, you know, 6-7 hours of sleep, which for me is a lot.
Yeah.
And so it just translates. I feel like when you back time it like that, and I'm also a person who cannot work out in the afternoon. Like if I don't work out first thing in the morning, it's not happening.
Yeah.
But I do know that if I don't, it totally F's with my entire psyche and my mood and how I treat everyone and how I treat myself and all that kind of stuff. And so I know not all people are wired that way, but I know you thrive on that too, when you can move your body and you feel good about yourself. And then it's just a ripple effect of, I got up early and now I feel good about myself. And now I have all this time to do all the shit that
you've
needs to be
that
done.
Out.
And you know, you check and it's, you know, me and my checklist, like, it's like, okay, work out, make the bed, like little shit I can do to feel like I've accomplished something. So I'm not constantly, cause I feel like sometimes when you have, I don't know, you're just like wandering around in circles and you're like, what do I do now? What do I do now? And it's like, once you feel like you start to check shit off your list, whether it's mentally or physically on a, you know, planner, it makes you feel good and it makes you want to keep doing that.
Yeah. No, and I need to.
And I don't feel like that's just exclusive to people who are super OCD like me. I feel like that's with a lot of people.
I think that is definitely what I need to do. And that's honestly for me, like that's my tennis too. And I love that it's scheduled and it's built in because I have to go, especially because you pay for it.
Yeah.
So like yesterday I started doing this Monday drill and it's at lunchtime and it's so awesome. The pros are great. It's indoor. It's amazing. Okay. And so like yesterday I had a million things going on. I was like, I don't care. I'm stopping down. I'm going. Yeah. And then I just felt so good after that.
Yes.
So anyway, that's why I kind of try to prioritize tennis when I can. Now you walk a fine line too, because there's tennis available to you like every day and you still have a lot to do. So I'm excited about working that back into the schedule. And I think that's a very real conversation with a lot of moms and a lot of people is and with when you throw kids and work and everything into a pot and in relationships and marriage and friends and in-laws and parents and all the variables that can affect you mentally.
Yeah.
It's important to figure out what works for you.
Yeah.
I think by this point, as many times we've talked about this, we need to get a freaking anxiety expert on the show.
No kidding. Holler at us.
If you are an anxiety expert.
Yeah, if you're an anxiety expert. Okay, you put on here religion. Do we want to table that? Or
well, it's not big or deep.
Okay.
So we got Ryder and Anna baptized.
Oh, yay!
Finally.
I will have to tell Dr. Lance Marshall, our official spiritual advisor of the Mom Game. He will be so happy.
Yes.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
It was last Sunday. And I think my thought was, you know, I really, it's funny because I had been meaning to since they were born and Ryder's 9. If that puts things into perspective. And so I literally like posted it on Instagram and I was like, better late than never. Like always, I've been meaning to do this. It was never like, it wasn't like I had to think about it. But something really cool about it was that they were able to really understand it. And instead of being babies, which I was when I was baptized and I was going to do that with them, they really understood it and they've really bought in and it's really cool to see.
Oh,
but it's just cool. I think my thought was it's a little bit of a obviously hot button topic, but I don't know. I feel like there's two sides or whatever. And I don't know how I feel like it's almost trendy sometimes to like be
bash
a realist.
Religion.
Yeah, just be a realist. Like, well, how does God exist? Or how does this? Or, you know, whatever.
I mean, it's very trendy to bash social, to bash, it's trendy to bash.
And that's kind of why I wrote that down, because it's a little weird to me that it's trendy to bash it. I'm not saying everyone can have their values and opinions.
I mean, poo-poo it, bash it. Yeah, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's just like if you like a certain flavor of wine or whatever, like it's okay, that's your, I mean,
yeah.
I'm not, I hope Pastor Lance isn't listening, but I mean, it's not like I'm shoving it on people. It's not like, but if you want to post your great, you know, linguine that you ate and I want to post my kids getting baptized, then whatever.
Right.
I don't know. I agree with you. Like it feels like, and I also too, somebody made a post the other day on like, why is it now that if you fly an American flag, you're automatically assumed to be a Republican or whatever. Right. And it's like, that's so weird. Like, I love America. Like, yep. It doesn't really associate with, like, who's running for office or what political party.
It is our country.
Right.
It is where we live.
I mean, I was born here. I kind of like it. Don't really want to go anywhere else. Right. Like, I don't know. I totally get what you're saying.
I don't know.
But it's like, it's something that I kind of view, like, my faith as something that's pretty, not private, but that's something that I kind of hold dear. And I also am not afraid to talk about it, though, like about, you know, my beliefs and all that kind of stuff. And the fact that I do believe in God and, I don't necessarily agree with everything that's taught in a specific sect of religion or whatever, but you know, it's just like, I'm a faithful person.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. And I'm okay sharing that. I don't know. I just, I feel like people are very hesitant or reluctant and I hate that for them. Like,
That's fine. You know, and I think one of the things that I was thinking that I wanted to mention is, you know, people that don't believe or whatever, it's fine. Anna has a cousin that doesn't and told her that God doesn't exist. And she keeps telling me that her cousin said that. And I'm like, I don't know. It's just, they're big questions and they're big thoughts and no one is wrong.
Right.
But I think my bigger picture was like such a big thing to a little child. Like, how do you, it's, you know.
Yeah.
And they just blurt these things as they're walking through, playing with toys. Oh, well, so-and-so said God doesn't exist. And you're like,
right.
Oh, well, here, let's pick up your room and we'll talk about it later. Yeah. You know, so maybe that's a Lance thing too. And I absolutely love and cherish the people, you know, that family, my in-law, I love them.
Right.
And they have their feelings and beliefs for their own reasons.
But it's like I've always maintained. I maintain this about politics, religion, everything. Life in general. The way that you react to a situation, the way that you feel about a certain situation, the way that you view the world is based on the experiences of Julie Ann Dobbs.
Yeah.
Forbes. All of your names. It's based on what you have experienced in your life. Those things mold the way you view the world. Hopefully you're open-minded enough. I'm open-minded enough to bring other things in.
For sure.
But the way I view the world is based on the experiences that I've had in my life, whether they were at 5, 15, 25, 35, or 45. Those experiences view the way we all look at things. And so for anyone to be like, well, I don't understand why would she not believe that God exists? Well, because she has different experiences.
Exactly.
And so it's like, it's that same way, like, how could he vote for Kamala? How could he vote for Trump? Because we all have different experiences. That's what I don't understand about our culture and our society in general, and probably just the whole fucking world, is that we fail to understand that.
Yeah.
That like, why? Oh, it would be asinine for us to all have the same views because we all have different experiences.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And it's okay.
And it's okay.
Wow, that we got heavy.
I know, quick. We did.
Do you want to talk about me edging and how God made me special? Like, I feel like we need to deviate from this. Yes. But this can definitely, I feel like we need to have Lance back. It's been a while.
Do.
We need to have Lance back for sure.
We do.
Okay, so do you want to tell the story?
Yes. So I called Emily the other day and
it was Friday.
It was Friday and we were chatting and you know, it's funny in my mind, like you're always at a business meeting or like doing something like very businessy or like selling insurance or selling wine or like running the world. And so I'm like, oh, I don't want to bug her. And then I called and you're like, yeah, you know, like kind of like you're in the middle of doing something. I'm like, what are you doing? And you said that you were working on a new project that you came up with.
I said,
you need to share this with everybody. You were working on edging or something.
So, and we just had our edging replaced. So edging is what keeps like the grass from going into the flower beds. Uh-huh. So it's like metal edging or whatever. So we just had it. We had it replaced after, which is also a little borderline crazy because we've been in our house for about 18 months.
Had your wait, what did you have replaced? The metal thing?
The metal stuff that runs in between the grass and the flower beds.
Okay.
Like, okay.
And so
it just keeps the flower bed from like going into the grass.
It keeps the grass from growing into the flower beds.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't want that.
Okay.
Got to keep them separate.
You wouldn't want
and
that.
And so I had it replaced because it was rusting really bad. Because
it rains.
Lawnmower.
And there's nothing you can do about that.
I know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invent a new product for this purpose. Okay. Because what is out there on the market is not cutting it.
Does it need endorsers?
I'm going to have to develop this because it doesn't exist.
I know. Like, it's your new product. I'm already trying to land this a deal.
Oh, here we go. Yes.
I'm thinking forward
I'm going to land a deal with the mom game and my new edging company. Yeah. So they replaced it a month or two ago, and I noticed that there was some that were a little off. Like, they weren't. It wasn't all in line.
The metal thing?
I don't even understand. So it comes in sections, like say like an 8-foot section or a 5-foot section. And then you have to put the sections together, and they have these little centerpieces that you make them all one line.
Okay.
And so I noticed that like one would be a little cattywampus, like one was higher than the other. And so I got some needle nose pliers and a hammer and a towel. So when I used the hammer, it wouldn't chip the coating on the edging. And I made sure that they were all in line.
Okay.
So I fixed the edging.
I
thought it was going to take a long time. My girlfriends invited me to lunch, and I was like, I can't. I've got a project I'm working on.
Really? You would say no to lunch for that?
I did, but I got done. It was a way easier project than I anticipated.
Okay.
And so I was able to go to lunch.
Oh, well, that's good.
So, yeah.
Do you come up with projects
I don't come up with them. They come to me when I see things. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the projects that came to me.
They come to me. Emily, help me.
Get me straight.
Edging.
Our edges are not in line.
Save me.
I know. So at some point, I don't know.
Into the flowers.
I know. No. We're grass and we're running away. I don't know. Like, this is.
But it helps you.
It does. It's therapeutic for me. Again, check it off my list. But like, this is why I probably should see someone very, very soon.
Yeah.
Because like, this is what happens when I'm alone with my thoughts and alone by myself at my house.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I have my AirPods in constantly. I'm listening to things constantly.
Yeah.
I'm just constant, because I'm just like, if someone else is talking in my head, it's not me talking in my head.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I need to, which is why I do, it's not even an early bird ad read day, but it's why I do early birds, because that is literally the only time. If I could take early birds like all day, it would be
magical. We need them to make
daytime. Yeah, but that's not a responsible parental thing to do. But anyway, that's
like
when
that
I.
Mom that's always on gummies, so like, she can exist.
Did you see Emily today? She was like, hey! Feel so loose.
Her lawn's like 4 feet tall. Yes.
No projects for me.
She hasn't edged in a while.
There's weeds everywhere.
No laundry's getting done.
So these are the kind of thoughts that I have in my head. Because sometimes I'll be like making the bed. Like I do, I mean, every single morning I make the bed.
All the beds?
Effing morning.
Your bed? All the beds?
I make my bed. And even if I don't, the kids are supposed to make their beds. It's been a little rough with back to school. But even if they don't, I have like a half-made bed plan where I can do half, like a half, where we don't put the pillows on. So that's kind of, it's like maybe takes 30. I mean, now I've got it down though, where I can make beds. I can make them so fast. Like, I feel like I could be a hotel. Like, if I could work in a hotel, I would fucking rock some shit. Like, I mean, my shit is tight.
I believe
it. I mean, it looks good. Like, there's no wrinkles. If there's wrinkles in the sheets, I get a damp cloth and I rub out the wrinkles.
Wow.
Like, I could.
You go, girl.
I could seriously work at like a super high end.
Change those
hotel.
Sheets. Yeah.
Anyway, I forgot what I was saying. Anyway, but then I thought like a couple mornings ago, I'm like, I mean, what would happen? Like, what would Mike think if like he came home and like there's dishes in the sink, laundry piling up?
What would he think?
Like, I don't know.
You think he'd be excited?
No. I think he'd be like
woo, she's ready to party.
No, he'd be like, what the fuck happened to my wife? Like, she's not okay. But I do think that every once in a while. Like, you know, that's where my mind goes. Like, some people are like, what if I ran away and never came back? Mine is like, what if I let my house get dirty?
I know.
Well, we didn't make the beds.
We did the slumber party thing. We really need to do the wife swap thing.
What?
Remember, we did the slumber party. We really need to do
the wife swap. Can you imagine? Oh my gosh.
It'd be so funny.
It would be hilarious.
Kelly would love it. He'd be like, our house is amazing. Like, because he'll like make, I mean, love him to death. He'll make offhand comments like, oh, did you see their house? Or like, gosh, like, how does she do all that and mom and work? Like, you know?
Yeah.
And he doesn't mean anything by, and he's actually, thankfully, very helpful too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and now Mike's gotten to the point where I think like now he's just used to it.
Yeah.
So like yesterday we come home. And I'd taken the kids to go to a middle school volleyball game that actually didn't ever happen because the other team didn't show up, whatever.
Ugh, that's bullshit.
Boys were trying to support the girls, whatever. And I come home and he had just made this like huge thing of fried rice, which is his thing to do. He loves making fried rice. Awesome. And then like the kids can eat it for and take it in their lunches and we can have it for leftovers. Like it's a great gesture. But I came home to a sink full of dish, not full. There was like five dishes. And I was like, and I'm like scrubbing everything, banging it around the sink and like just shoving stuff in the dishwasher.
I'm scared.
And
for him.
Mike was like, everything okay? And I was like, just fine. Everything's fine. Everything's good. Just did a lot of driving with a, you know, for no reason. No middle school volleyball game. Like, and he was like, okay. And so now he knows like this is just going to be a minute. Let me get the shit in the dishwasher. Everything's going to be fine.
So then does he come out and help?
So, I mean, he'll ask, but then what does that do?
Because you've already probably done it.
He'll ask with like a spoon left to go. Oh, do you need, can I help you with anything?
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, get the spoon. And I'm like, no, fucker, you can't help with anything. You waited till the last goddamn minute.
But he cooked dinner.
He did cook dinner. And we have a rule in our house that if you cook, you don't claim.
So that's why he did it.
It is. But the night before, I cooked.
Oh, okay. There's more.
And I cleaned.
But did you clean because you're OCD?
They weren't.
See?
Doing it fast it's, enough.
You can't. This isn't his fault.
No, you're right.
Just it's like not, Henry in no, the trash.
And it's. Y'all can start, I'm so fucked
y'all
up.
Y'all can start paying me to advise for your family. Someone's got to intervene here.
I know. I'm just glad that. They all still love
they
me.
They love you.
Or they pretend
and that's
to.
That's the beautiful thing about family.
It is.
And friends and mom game.
I know.
Hosts.
I know.
Okay. No, I saw that. Did you see that funny? I think I shared it on the mom game about like wives and how you'll just, because I try to make
about
the trash.
Jenga? Oh, yes. the trash Jenga? Yes.
I try to make that Kelly's task. I've told him so many times.
This is your thing.
Like, this is your thing. Like, can you own this task? Like, as if it's a business. I'm like, this is your task. And he's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden it'll just start piling up. The trash is piling up. And then I start doing what you're doing, but with trash. I'm just like, I guess I'll take this trash out. Looks like the recycle's full too. I guess I'll just do it. And then I huff around and then I sleep. Oh, I guess I'll take it all the way out to the garage. And they sit there and wait. And just like make a whole production of it. And then he'll like, you know,
that's like the
jump
go-
up and
isn't that
help.
The go-to move though for moms like that are annoyed? Like just be as loud as you can while doing the task that you really don't want to be doing. And in
why
my case, that you really don't think that anyone else can do as good as you.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, God bless us, everyone.
What's wrong with us?
Okay. We do have some guests coming up a little bit later. The dudes responsible for our perfect vision are coming up in a little bit. But we want to talk a little bit of sports and a little bit of what's on your feed and a little bit of TMG News Desk because we promised these things on our last episode.
Yes.
Okay. Sports, scorts, Rangers, it's not. It's very...
Okay, where are we at?
We're middling. We're like 10 games back. It's not good.
How many games left?
30.
Okay, and how many are you working?
19. Okay. So, yeah, it's not great, but it is what it is. You know, it just is what it is. I don't really know what else to say about that.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
promising things coming up in the minor leagues. Jacob DeGrom looks to be, you know, positioning himself to make a couple big league starts before he hits the offseason. Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter have been really impressing. So you've got things to be excited about, but this was just not our season.
And that's okay.
It is. Guess what? We're still world champs until someone else is. Cowboys, preseason's over. CeeDee Lamb got his contract. Yay. We can all stop speculating.
I drafted him last night in my fantasy.
Did you?
Game.
Good for you. I'm not doing fantasy. I'm doing a pick 'em contest with Jared Sandler, our friend.
Mm-hmm.
So he organized. Jared, okay, talk about a dude who does way too much. Like,
does he have anxiety? How do people do it?
You know what? I wonder. I need to ask him. So he's got a lot of stuff going on. Like, yeah. he always does, like, he does this home run contest with the broadcasters every game. God bless. And then he's running this, like, this pick'em football contest. And I'm thinking there's, like, 20 of us. There's, like, 800, and, like, the winner gets 25 grand or something. I don't know.
Okay.
He's doing all these things. He does trivia. He does all the things. Anyway, I'm in that because Hattie requested that we do it again this year. We did it last year. So I got an account for the kids, an account for me. So we'll do the picks for that. But no fantasy. I didn't.
Mine's only because it's Writers League.
Okay. And I did that for Henry for a while, and I think that's why I got burned out on it. But anyway, it's sweet for them to do it, especially.
It's sweet.
I know. And I saw that he like ran it and was like super excited.
I was doing a proposal last night for us grinding. Yeah. And I had the draft up and I was like, it'd like ding. Ding. Like, Mom,
your turn.
Football mama, you're up. That's my name. Football mama. I'd be like, oh crap. So I'm like multitasking.
Yeah.
But you gotta do what you gotta do.
But it's fun. And it's fun for them to, like, that's what we do with the picks. Like, Henry and Hattie and I'll sit down and do the picks together. And it's a fun thing for us.
It is. It's like a healthy hobby too.
It is. Oh, for sure.
As long as they don't start gambling.
They start learning about, I mean, it's a good way for them to start learning about football.
Exactly.
And it's fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Chargers got stuck in an elevator for that last preseason game. Which I'm trying to figure out where I fall on this. So I've heard some people like totally clowning Jim Harbaugh, the coach for the Chargers, saying like he was being so dramatic, which he is dramatic. But also too, they were stuck in for 2 hours in a fucking elevator and had to like get pulled out through the roof and put onto another.
You would have been.
Oh my God. Let me just tell you.
So what's the because I just basically saw that Instagram post.
So
About Jim Harbaugh, though.
It was like two. Well, he just was like, I mean, that's a test of wills, which I guess for me, it would be a test of wills.
He was saying, like, we can overcome adversity.
And there's 15 people in an elevator. That's a lot of fucking people. And that makes me want to hyperventilate right now just thinking about it. If I was stuck in an elevator with 15 people for 2 hours, I don't even want to tell you the things that I would do. It would not be pretty.
Would you eat somebody?
I would not eat somebody. I would have the most violent panic attack.
Oh,
it would be awful. It would be awful. I mean, I can't even go there. Like, I cannot.
No, I can't either. And you know that they were thinking.
And then they're like, let me pull you out of the roof. Like, did you not have those nightmares as a child where the elevator just falls? I had those.
I was always going off a cliff.
A cliff?
Yeah, okay. Walking.
I had elevator nightmares. Oh. I think it has like something to do with claustrophobia.
Yeah.
I also had a nightmare last night that I got a bob haircut with bangs.
Really?
Not good. It's not good.
Well, it was just a dream.
I should never have bangs, and I should never get a bob.
No.
Okay. So, yes. So they were. So sorry. They
bob
were,
haircut with bangs in an elevator stuck.
In an elevator stuck. So yeah, I would lose it. So I'm kind of in the middle where he was super dramatic about it, but also too, it's super dramatic.
Yeah.
Like 15 people in an
elevator. That's scary. And they didn't.
2 hours. It's hot as fuck. Is there air in there? Like, what are we doing?
And you don't know what's going to happen. Like, your brain has to be going to bad places.
Bathroom anxiety.
Yeah.
That's where I would have bathroom anxiety.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There what was probably some peeing and pooping and farting on that thing.
No. No. Surely no one pooped.
I mean, if you got to go. And then if you don't, if you're if they were holding it in, maybe they didn't actually poop, but like.
Surely not.
If you don't in an elevator situation for 2 hours.
But there could be gas.
Then that's when the gas comes or the stomach rumbles. And
like, I think my strategy, like I've thought about this. So like my first strategy would be like, I'm just going to sit down and I need like, I'm going to probably pull my knees up to where I've got a little bit of extra space.
Yeah.
And then maybe just kind of bury my head for a little while. See how long that would last.
Sounds terrible.
Well, yeah. So I don't know. But I don't ever want
to.
It's.
Let's hope we never have to deal with that.
No. So anyway, crazy, crazy story. College football is back. Big upset in week 1, which was fun to watch. I'm so excited college football is back.
Yes.
I'm so excited. We're going to the Tech Baylor game.
Fun.
In October. I can't wait. So yay for college football.
I need to get locked in.
Yes. Well, I think we all do.
I mean, it just started, but still.
Okay. What's on your feed? Couple things.
I want to hear yours.
Okay.
And then I'll owe you mine for next week. I'll figure it out by then.
Yes. Because you didn't have any storage on your
phone. I need to go to the T-Mobile store.
Okay. Okay. So I downloaded the app, the ChatGPT app. But now I can't. Okay. So what you do is you take like 4 screenshots of your Instagram feed. And then you put it into chat. Oh, shit. I lost it.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hell. Explore. Well, where's my previous? Okay, well, that sucks.
Oh, man.
Well, I did it. I guess
you read it and it was funny?
Okay, yes. So basically what it was like is, so I uploaded four pictures and said into chat, this chat GPT app, which this is the first time I've ever used it, and I said, roast my Instagram feed. So it comes back with something about, oh, wow, you're really into sports, especially baseball. We get it. Why not mix in like a photo of some cooking or maybe a hike?
No.
It's like, fuck off.
ChatGPT.
Yeah, screw you.
And I was like, cooking.
Little do you know, I don't cook, nor do I hike, damn it. And
I
then
think
it was
saying
like,
you should.
And then it was like, and then your family, they look lovely. Right out of a Hallmark card or something. Maybe, you know, show everybody that, you know, with your, you know, basically being a shit show. I'm like, that's all we are is a shit show. That's all I put out there. So anyway.
Oh, that's funny.
It was funny. I mean, it was a funny thing to do.
Yeah.
But it also was a lot of like, you have to roast a chat. And then ChatGPT freaks me out. That's the first time I'd ever used it.
Is it still on your phone?
So I still have the app. But so I had the message that it gave me, but then it went away. So
okay. Well, you can actually have some fun with that app. It's kind of silly and fun.
Yeah, it could be. So speaking of, right fast, Hattie is on. So she has some app where like she's texting back and forth with an AI. She calls him Michael Jordan. And so she'll be like, skibbity riz, like with all the shit the kids are saying. And it'd be like, whatever. Like, he'll be like, oh, skibbity riz or whatever. And then she'll be like, you know, go Red Raiders or go Frogs or whatever. Oh, you like TCU football. But
what?
It's like total. It's like, so it's automatic and generated.
Huh.
And so her whole goal is to say wheels off shit that he, and see how he responds.
Okay.
And her friend Madeline was in the car yesterday and she's like, I mean, I was like, it's not a person. This is a computer. This is artificial intelligence and it's freaking me out.
The things our children have to comprehend.
And we're deleting it.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is getting too weird. Who knows what path this is going to, and I mean, I've read them all. They're all super, they're like clean and whatever, but I'm also, it's like, it's fucking weird. We're getting rid of it. So anyway.
I didn't know that was a thing. But
it
I
is
guess,
a thing.
I mean, even when I was a kid, there was Barbie.
Yeah, yes. So she created him and she named him Michael Jordan, which also I loved.
Yeah.
Which That's brings cute. Us to our final topic before we get to our doctor guest.
Ooh.
We teased this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And in TMG News Desk today, we present to you our top five people we'd like to have a beer with and mm-hmm. top five people we'd like to have a glass of wine with. So, I will let you want to start, or do you want me to start?
I want you to start.
Okay. So, I feel like I separated mine into male and female, which is totally stereotypical, and I apologize, but I did women.
I did too.
I did women with wine and beer with men. So, I'm going to start with my women. Top five people I would like to have a glass of wine with. First, I went Oprah. Like, I think Oprah had, listen, she's one of the most successful women in the world.
Yes.
I just think she's met so many interesting people and say what you want, but she, you know, she had a really hugely successful television career for so long and she's done a lot of cool things. I think Oprah would be awesome. You'll appreciate this one. Taylor Swift.
Yay!
On my list. These are in no certain order. Leslie Visser. So Leslie Visser is who I idolized growing up, sportscaster.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the trailblazers for women in television sports, and I would just love to have a glass of wine with her. Another one is Rachel Robinson, who is Jackie Robinson's wife, his widow. I would love, she's probably, if I had to pick, she would be number one. I would love to sit down with Rachel Robinson and just talk to her about the things she experienced with Jackie and what she's experienced since then. And then finally, my fun one, or not, I mean, they're all fun, whatever. But I would love to have a glass of wine with Dolly Parton.
Oh, that's a really good one.
I would love to have a glass of wine with Dolly Parton and just talk about so many things.
Yeah.
She just seems like a really good human.
She does.
You know, like I feel like she's got a really good heart. She's got a really good soul. Super talented.
Yeah.
She's done a lot of cool shit. I looked up, and this is sad, but I did look up Betty White, but she's not alive anymore. I thought Betty White would be fun.
So, do they have to be alive?
Remember, I texted you and said they need to be alive.
Okay. I mean,
but it's okay if they don't.
All mine are. Okay. All mine are.
Okay.
But I didn't know that caveat.
Well, I thought that would help us because then you could be like, I'd like to have a glass of wine with Jesus and I'd like to have a glass of wine.
One of mine isn't really, but the rest of mine are.
Okay. All right. Do your wine.
I'd like to have a glass of wine with Jesus.
Do your wine.
Okay. So my wine is, my men are.
Well, no, wine. I thought wine was women.
Sorry, wine, women, yes.
W's.
So,
speaking
my of. Number one is, and this one actually, I'm just like, oh, here it is. I couldn't find my list. That's why I was being so weird.
It's the most Julie thing ever. I'm going to filibuster, and I'm gonna get lost a little bit in thought.
Yes,
I'm gonna forget. Stall.
Like that's the radio, Julie. Like, oh yeah,
yeah.
Okay, but I do only have four women, but they're good. So I also have Taylor Swift, of course.
Okay,
I mean, and God, she's just so many. She's just on top of the freaking world. So many things I'd want to talk about with her. Reese Witherspoon.
Okay,
and she's just. I love how she's taken like a really successful acting career and done so much with it.
Yep.
With this Hello Sunshine company that she launched.
Okay. And then doesn't she have another one? I think. Draper James?
Yes.
Draper
James, she's like super, the clothing line. And then the Hello Sunshine is like a production company and they have podcasts and they have, they produce the morning show, that show.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
And they have like book clubs. Like the whole focus of Hello Sunshine is to put women in the forefront. And it's not like a hardcore like feminism thing, but it's like in Hollywood, it's just the men are always lead role, whatever, whatever. So I love that. And then I just think there'd be so many things we could talk to. She's like, you know.
She's a badass. Yeah.
Sam Ponder, that's my sports person. And especially now.
No shit.
Like, I've always followed her, and she's not that much older than me, so it's not like I've always, like, looked up to her or anything. But I mean, I have, but not, like, since I was a little girl or that kind of thing. But I've always just followed her and think she does such a good job. And she's a mom, and she, like, bam, 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 at three kids. And
She's awesome.
You know, but now, they just abruptly pulled her off.
I know.
ESPN.
Did she ever make it?
Not that I've seen.
Yeah.
So I'd love to have a glass
of
wine with
her. And this is not, I mean, obviously speculation, but you wonder like if there's something brewing, if she hasn't come out and said anything publicly.
Right.
But whatever.
Probably so.
Yeah.
No,
Sam Ponder's a good one.
I mean, one of the reasons I love her is that she's like a strong woman. And usually strong women don't let things like randomly happen to them and not try to stand up for themselves. So those are my women. Yeah.
Wait, how many is that?
I told you I only had four.
Oh, okay. So who was it?
Reese Witherspoon, Taylor Swift, Sam Ponder, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, and Jennifer Aniston. You didn't say Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, I didn't. Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
This is how I drove here. This is why I was late. Like, you see me just trying to read a list. Imagine driving in weird places and having to get gas. I can't function very well.
It's okay.
Jennifer Aniston. Yeah. She's just a badass.
She is. But don't you wonder though, like, why on earth has she not married has she unmarried?
This is kind of one of the things I want to ask her over some wine.
Okay. Is this your choice?
Yes.
Like I'm in on all
this. She was married to Brad Pitt.
She never married. I don't think she ever did. She marry?
I think they were married because I think it was like a big.
Oh yeah, because the
wedding
Angelina
that everyone celebrated.
I don't remember.
But yeah,
I feel like she. Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
You could ask her.
Maybe it was just a long.
Maybe I'm wrong. No.
We don't know. That's the bottom line here.
It's in the, like anyone could ever
That's
figure
why
that
we want
to
have a glass of wine with her. We'd be like, were you married?
Were you ever married? First of all.
And then with the whole Matthew Perry thing.
I know.
It's terrible. And then there's like weird stuff that's come out about that. But just being on like a show like Friends and how crazy that was. And I mean, she's so iconic. All of them are. And I think that's why they're on my list for having a beer with.
Okay.
And I picked these people as people that I could see, as beer drinkers too. Like, I think when I was thinking about having a beer, I was thinking of people that liked beer.
I did men beer.
Yeah.
Women wine. Okay.
George Strait is, I mean, he's my favorite country music artist and he's just been around for so long and I would love to have a beer with him and make him sing to me.
Okay.
George W.
Okay.
Like, I think the conversation.
He would have an O'Doul's.
He would have an O'Doul's.
He doesn't drink.
The conversation we had with Josh Abbott, I think, inspired me and, like, hearing what you say. But he's just, I mean, can you imagine a president that, like, all the stories that he could tell, but then he also seems like someone that maybe you just want to hang out with, too?
Yeah.
Because there's obviously a lot of presidents you could put on the list, but alive ones, I think he's the one I'd want to, like, actually sit and visit with.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey.
Okay.
Because he's just such an interesting dude and kind of hot, or really hot, although he's getting older. And now he's a dad. And remember when I was trying real hard to get him on here?
Yes.
We need to try that again.
Okay.
Because he did a couple podcasts, like local Dallas podcasts, when he was trying to promote a book. So there is hope. But I just think he'd be a great, and especially, like, you know, he's just got a lot not outside of just being a movie star, I feel like. And then this is my one that technically isn't alive, but the one that is a little deeper, I guess. But I would love to have a beer with Ryder as an older person.
Okay. Like, I like
that. Isn't that a weird, like, mind melt kind of thing to think about?
It's not. And it's sweet. And you will. You
I hope. But, I like, even older, like, we won't ever get to.
What?
We won't ever get to. Like, when our kids are really old, we're going to be gone.
Okay.
I know.
He's going to be 21 and he can have a beer and you're only going to be, like, 50. You're going to be fine.
I know.
Yes.
But there's going to be a lot of their old person life that we don't get to see. So if this is a hypothetical where I can.
Oh, I see. So you're talking about old man Ryder.
Yeah.
Like Grandpa Ryder. Yeah. You want to have a beer with Grandpa Ryder.
Like,
I love that.
Like, what's that going to be like?
Oh, that's a sweet thought.
I know.
And also kind of depressing. We should move on from it.
Let's do. Let's move right along.
No, it's a very sweet thought. It is a sweet thought.
Yeah.
Okay. I know the perfect way to move on from it, because the first two on mine, who have you learned about me, are like two of my biggest, like, celebrity crushes.
Oh, Kevin Costner?
No.
Oh.
I mean, he's fine, but.
Justin Timberlake.
And. Played the Super Bowl halftime show.
Usher.
Okay.
So JT and Usher.
I mean, that's just in case there's sparks or anything like that.
You won't know if you don't have a beer with them.
Listen. So those are my two celebrity crushes, are Usher and Justin Timberlake. And then, so I'm very shallow while you're going deep with, like, your old man's son, whatever. I know,
that was weird.
I know. No, it wasn't weird. It was sweet. And then I'm just over here just being like, hey.
Usher.
Usher's hot, and so is Justin Timberlake. Okay, so the other ones I have, I just watched the documentary on Pete Rose.
Mm.
Would love to have a beer with Pete Rose. And then Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
I would love to have a beer with Ken Griffey Jr. Like, he is the – like, he's the guy that, like – now I've been doing baseball for so long that I don't really get fazed by hardly anyone. Like, I interviewed Hank Aaron one time, and that was, like,
cool.
Bananas cool. But, like, Ken Griffey Jr. is, like, I told you, Henry dressed up as he wore it yesterday. Like, he has a Griffey Jr. jersey, and he dressed up as Ken Griffey Jr. for Halloween. And I tagged, I was like, oh, not a Ranger, but it's Ken Griffey Jr., so it's okay. And he, like, liked it or something. And and I freaked out. I was, like, so excited.
Well, oh, everyone used to love him. My brother was obsessed with him.
So Ken Griffey Jr.'s on there. And then when I was first starting out in sports broadcasting, people would always ask, like, who's your ultimate, like, person you would love to interview? And at that time, it was the height of Michael Jordan. And so, I mean.
Oh, that's a good one. I should have put him.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
And I think, like, there is a high level of, you know, narcissism there and whatever. If you've ever, like, watched, did you watch his Hall of Fame speech? It's so cringy. Because basically he's just talking about how great he is. And it's like, no, you don't have to talk about it. Everyone knows. Like, everyone knows you're so great. Like,
and don't people know by now, like, that no one likes
Like,
that.
Just don't. I don't know. And it's almost like, anyway.
Yeah.
Still, nonetheless, he was always, like, the one. Like, if I could interview
one dude,
I would love to sit down and interview.
Yep. Michael Jordan. His jersey's still all over Shields.
Oh, my gosh.
I got Ryder one, the UNC one.
Hattie just named her AI.
Exactly. Chatbot. And when you're that famous, like, kids, generations.
She's 11.
Yes.
And she named her chatbot Michael Jordan, which he's dying today because that app's getting deleted.
Dying chatbots.
Episode title. Oh, there we go.
Writing it down.
Dying chatbots.
Dying chatbots.
Dying chatbots. Yeah. So, okay. How we feeling?
Good.
Better than when we started today?
Yes.
Okay. Same.
And hopefully, I don't know, hopefully when people listen to us work through our shit, it helps
just
them
know
work
you're rolling in shit. Hot on our like real life shit.
Exactly.
Like just know.
Just
I mean,
know.
We don't, yeah. I mean, we can't fake shit. We don't, yeah.
It's real.
God
like,
bless us.
That's why, you know, that's why people like, we're obsessed with the real world and the in road rules. Maybe we're our own reality show.
Road rules. First of all, how terrifying would that be to like, I thought about that.
What?
Obviously, I thought about a lot of things. But like, I, you know, because I watched The Real Housewives. So I'm currently watching The Real Housewives of Orange County, which is a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these are grown ass women. Like, they cannot be proud of this. Whatever. But then I thought, if someone followed me around in my life every day.
Would never let them.
Oh,
I don't care how much it costs.
No shit. Like, can you imagine if your life was a reality TV show and there's like just camera crews capturing everything?
No.
Sounds fucking miserable.
Yep.
So anyway. Okay.
So anyway.
You know what's not miserable? Our eyesight.
That's right.
Because our eyesight is
2020.
2020. And you know who that's because of?
Tylock, George Eye Care, and these wonderful doctors that joined us on this very show.
And we are so excited to have a couple of brilliant doctors from Tylock, George Eye Care in our studio today. There are doctors because they've done eye surgery on us, taking care of us beforehand, afterhand. Julia and I both, we've got Dr. Nasser and Dr. Vo, and we've gotten to know you guys over the last several months leading up to our eye surgeries and after, of course. And so first of all, thank you all for being with us. I think our, you know, our surgeries have caused a lot of or prompted a lot of questions from people. So we thought, what better way to answer those questions than to bring in the experts?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, we're super excited.
So tell me about Emily's eyeballs.
Let me tell you something about Emily's eyeballs. She is very unique.
She's the best eyeballs ever.
Want to break the ice there with an eyeball question.
That is perfect. No, she was such a joy to take care of. Both of you were, and we're just so excited to be here.
Oh, well, can I ask? I know we have some like technical stuff to get to, but how did you both kind of get into this profession?
Great question. So for me, I think I was a little bit confused during residency. And you have just so many choices to pick, hundreds and hundreds of specialties. And I happened to stumble on ophthalmology when I was reading a book. And the first paragraph was about a mission trip. So a frail old lady that was in Ecuador that had been blind for decades for something that's preventable. So that's cataracts. And you have these really cool superheroes that would fly in and within 15 to 30 minutes would change this person's life completely. This person would go from being blind, not able to feed themselves, not able to clothe themselves or do the basic functions. And within 15 to 30 minutes, you're restoring their livelihood and you're liberating them and their family members. And I got goosebumps as soon as I was done with that paragraph. And I promised myself, if I'm able to do this profession, I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life. And so I've just been humbled to get accepted into ophthalmology, and I've been going on mission trips every year. And that's something that we want to incorporate as part of our practice at Tylock, George, as well.
That's awesome. So, what about you, Dr. Bo?
Well, I just have a little bit simpler story. Pretty much, it's just we growing up in the Asian family, it's just, you know, you just have to be doctors all over here. You know? So it's like, I don't know what you want.
Well, seriously.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm being sure, you know. So, and we just kind of like going to the choices. And I remember my high school teacher is just like, well, have you ever considered being like, you know, an optometrist, you know? And I'm like, oh, what's an optometrist? I don't even know that word. You know? So, and she'd break it down like, oh, it's an eye doctor, you know? So they are in medical field. So it's just kind of something aligned with your choice too, you know? So I look into it and I really like the option, you know?
Yeah.
The lifestyle and everything. Nothing cool like Dr. Nasser wants you to do surgery, but I just kind of settled, you know, to be the optometrist, you know? But I realized that when I going through the field, it's just actually we could do a lot, you know? As an optometrist, we're working alongside with him. Even though we don't do surgery ourselves, but then we can kind of get involved in the team that we can take care of our patients the same way too, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's what we're going to talk a lot about our personal experiences with you guys and with Tylock. But I felt like, you know, one of the things that struck me in our conversations was there's really three pillars of vision that kind of span our entire lifetime. So if you want to hit on those, and then I can't think as you hit on those, we're going to see where we come into play.
100%. I'm just so excited to be here with Dr. Vo. I think he's, him and the other optometrists in our practice are an incredibly important part of what we do, because, you know, the patient experience and meeting patients beforehand and afterhand is incredibly important. So for sure, that's something that's very vital. Now, when we're talking to our patients, I like to simplify it. And usually there are three pillars. We call them milestones as well. Typically, the first milestone is ocular maturity. Some people think there are four. So it's like a baby eye that's growing until you get to ocular maturity. That's usually in your 20s and 30s. So that's when the lens and your eyeball overall has stopped growing and the lens is still flexible. So if you put your glasses on, if you need them, you can look at anything at any distance and be able to see it clearly. So that's the first milestone. So for those patients, you know, lots of different options, which we can get into. Then as you're growing, the lens becomes less and less flexible, and you enter into the second milestone, which is called presbyopia. And that's where, if you have family members or if you're experiencing it, like you did, Emily, you started to lose the ability to see things up close. And you would have to push things further and further away from you until you lost real estate and you had to put a pair of readers on. So things to look forward to, Julie. and then you finally get into your third milestone, which is when that lens just keeps progressing. And now it's not only inflexible, so it's not flexible anymore, it also becomes cloudy and opaque. And that's called a cataract, which we can remove with surgery, pretty similar to what you had as well. But you decided to be very proactive and not wait until you get a cataract.
Sure. Yeah. And I actually had my LASIK done by Dr. Tylock 17 years ago. And I honestly thought, and I had heard, they were like, this will only last a certain amount of time. Mine lasted, I think, 15 years, which is, I felt like, was a really good marker. I feel like a lot of people, it was like 10, they told me, you know, 10 years or so it could wear off. And so I made it 15 and I kind of thought, well, that's it. I mean, I'm done. I'm just going to have to live with readers or no line bifocals the rest of my life until I met you with you guys. And then you were like, no, there's absolutely an alternative, you know, to wearing those no line bifocals and the readers. And Julie, on the other hand, spring chicken over here, she's still young. And hasn't yet even had LASIK, you know, and meanwhile, I've already had it and worn off. And so I think a lot of people don't know that there are a number of options, it's not just LASIK anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I totally agree. It's one thing we really want to stress to everyone in public is, you know, treat yourself with amazing vision. There's always an option. Regardless, I think one common misconception is, you know, I'm not at that age or I'm not a candidate. There's almost always an option for you to be free and live free. Because, you know, patients, just like you mentioned, just get LASIK. They're like, okay, I can't get any more eye surgery. Or, you know what, I'll have to wait until I'm 70 or 80 before I get cataract surgery. You want to invest in your time and actually make that decision earlier so that you can enjoy lots of more years mm-hmm. with this newfound freedom that you have.
So what are all the different procedures that you guys can do at your office?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, we have just kind of breaking down on the milestone that we have. You know, usually for ocular maturity, we have, you know, simple refractive surgery divided into, you know, laser correction. So we have the LASIK, PRK, and then also the new implants called EVO ICL, so that we can help patients to see without the need of the glasses or contacts. And when we go into the second milestone, which is the presbyopia, that's what Miss Emily have. She have the harder to reading up close. So now we kind of giving her option, like, do you want to get an enhancement for your LASIK, or we're going straight to getting the custom lens replacement, which is the almost similar to the early cataract surgery. So with that part, we pretty much just replacing with the newest implants. It's called intraocular lens, and we replacing it. And then the design of the implants will allow her to see far away, intermediate, up close. I mean, she just had surgery the next day, she already seen 2015.
2020.
2015. Yeah. We measured an extra light, just kind of proved that we are that good. So she see everything perfectly. Only thing is just, you know, with the custom lens replacement or the early cataract surgery, we have to do one eye at a time.
Yeah.
Sometimes we make the exception. We do both eyes, especially in Europe. They're kind of getting more popular that way, and they're just doing both eyes on the same day. But we just want to take it slow for Miss Emily, so we do one eye at a time.
Yeah.
But she recovers very quickly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I thought it was, so I just had a conversation this morning. I was on a call and this got brought up, and they were like, oh, I can't do it. I've got astigmatism. And I was like, no, I guarantee there's something. So it's worth exploring. And you don't realize, like, I had gotten so reliant on my readers, but then I could see far away. And so I'd have my computer here, and then I'd stop to check my phone. I'm like, oh, I need my readers. And then I'd go back to my computer. I'm like, oh, I don't need my readers. Like, I was so tired of that and keeping up with them and all that kind of stuff. And so I feel like there's a lot of people, like I said, that were like me, who think like, well, I'm just stuck with this because I'm old, and, you know, I'm going to have to fight through it until it's time to have cataract surgery. And so now I'm, like you said, early cataract, I'm preventing doing that later on in life, right?
Exactly. 100%. You won't ever have the cataracts for the rest of your life.
Yeah. You know? It's so awesome. I'm so ahead of the game.
I know.
When do y'all usually see people needing the cataract surgery? Like, what age?
Yeah. Typically, it starts on average, you know, in the 50s.
Is it like 50s. Almost, like, what percentage of people do you think? Is it almost everyone?
Almost everyone will end up with a cataract if they live long enough.
Wow.
It's a universal thing. It's an aging phenomenon. So just like with our hair turning gray and our skin changes, the lens starts to opacify and become a cataract. And so if you're as proactive as Emily, you can enjoy such an awesome and incredible experience. And honestly, it reminds me of a really cool story where a patient that was really young, you know, in their mid to late 30s, that just had a very thick pair of glasses, and he was a Boeing airplane inspector. And the glasses just got in the way of everything. And with a clear lens replacement, he was able to dramatically change his lifestyle and even got a promotion in his job. And so there is always an option. And you don't necessarily have to wait until you get cataract to enjoy a new lifestyle.
And then I think, too, you think like eye surgery, like there's a lot of downtime, there's a lot of buildup. Like they're other than taking that disgusting medicine that makes you feel really good, not going to lie. gives you the giggles a little bit. That was the worst part about the whole thing, was just that medicine. You didn't have to take it. Mine was different than yours.
I took a Valium.
We had to.
I know. They knew what they were dealing with.
And we won't share exactly what Emily was saying.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Yeah. And then the recovery, like you said, like you wear the patch for 24 hours. We go back to the office. You take it off. You take a look at everything to make sure everything healing nicely, and then it's like, you know, no makeup for a week, no rubbing the eyes for a week, and it really was pretty. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's crazy as you think about your, you know, eyeball being cut open. You know,
yeah. The downtime is very minimal in what we do. I can say myself, you know, as a busy surgeon, I had LASIK myself a couple of years ago, and I had to go to a conference the next day. Can you imagine? And, you know, being a surgeon and treating patients, I was very confident in the safety profile of LASIK and really believe in the technology that I offer. But to actually go through it added a whole layer of appreciation. And the next day, I was seeing 20/20 even better, and I went to a three-day conference the next day and was able to do everything as if I didn't have anything done. So with the new technology that we have access to, and at Tylock George, we certainly have the latest and greatest, we're able to offer patients that with minimal downtime. How was your experience like, Julie, with your LASIK?
It was great. Yeah. And LASIK is something I had been thinking about for so long, because I feel like I was a really good candidate for it because I couldn't see distance. And I had to wear glasses to drive at night. And that is really annoying. It's like you have to judge where you're going, when you're going to be in your car, and if the sun's going to go down, and make sure you have your glasses handy. And if you don't, it's like, it was very dangerous for me, but it took me a while to actually get it done, and I was so happy the way it worked out, where we connected and we were able to all work together and then get Emily in on it too. But it just, y'all say it's life-changing, and it really is life-changing, and I think about it every single day because I'll go through the motions of something, and I'll be like, where's my, I don't need my glasses, you know, whether it's driving, playing tennis, this or that. And I'm slowly throwing out my old glasses. It feels weird because you pay a lot for them. I'm like, just throw these away. You know, what do I do? But it is. It's a life-changing experience. And we've been saying here on the show just how every step of the way was so easy. Everybody there is so nice. They take good care of you because it is a little bit like you're a little nervous and you have a little anxiety about it. And it's a little surgery. I mean, I say little because I've had some big ones, but it's just so easy. And so, you know, we sing your praises here and we thank you guys so much for helping us and for helping so many people that you do. So it seems like if there's anybody who's listening that maybe has any sort of vision problem at all and they aren't sure if they're a candidate, the best thing to do is just call and talk to somebody and come in.
That and y'all correct. Do several things online, right, where you can do a
we
consult?
Do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there how are would people several, get in touch and what should they do?
Several ways, whether it's calling our office, we certainly will be available online. We can book appointments. We have several chat features, social media as well. Feel free to send us a message. We're available in any sort of venue or platform that's easiest for our patients to reach us.
Yeah, and we want them obviously to mention the Mom Game.
Yay. That's right.
Call, and then we have our own special little link, which is tylock.com/TMG. TMG.
Yeah.
Is TMG. It TMG or the Mom Game?
TMG. I think TMG.
I think it's TMG.
Mm-hmm. We'll double check.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure it's TMG. But yeah, okay. One more eyeball question before we let y'all go.
So you cut off.
You removed part of my eyeball. So did you save that? Did you keep it? Do you have it in a little?
That's one of the most common questions.
Do you have in a little? Because I remember the first time I got stitches when I was little, and I saved those stitches forever, which I thought, looking back, is so disgusting. But I'm like, what do you do with all the old eyeball pieces?
That's one of the most common questions I get. I'll be in there mid-surgery, and the patient's like, can you save that cataract for me? Can you save that lens for me? And I have to apologize because, you know, with this newer technology, things are just more and more minimally invasive.
Yeah.
So the old school way of doing it was we used to make this large opening on the cornea and remove lenses at whole, which I still currently do in mission work that I do in developing countries where we don't have access to technology. So we have to make these large openings and remove the lens at whole, and I can keep them as souvenirs. But now what we do is we make a small opening. It's an eighth of an inch for perspective, just to have access to your eye. And then we use state-of-the-art ultrasound technology to actually break the lens.
So you just obliterated my lens.
We basically,
okay, exactly. I like it.
Aspirate it. So I can give you a little bottle with aspiration fluid.
That's
if
okay.
You want.
I'm good. That's a souvenir. Well, Dr. Nasser, Dr. Vo, thank y'all so much for being with us. It seriously was such a great experience, and I know it sounds cheesy and dramatic to say it's life changing, but it absolutely is life changing to not have to rely on that and to know that I'm done with my eye business, you know, until the end of time.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about.
I know.
You don't have to worry about that.
You might later on.
Oh, I might be knocking on your door in about, I don't know, 7 years or whatever for the cataract thing.
So,
but yeah, you get to work with these two. They're awesome. Everybody there is so great. And that link is www.tylock.com/TMG.
There we go. You were right, Dr. Fo. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we end every episode by looking into our camera. Yours is right there. Ash, are they there? Big one. That one. Throw up the peace signs. We love having doctors throw up the peace signs.
Both peace signs.
Okay. And then you look at your camera and say, Mom Game Out. On the count of three, 1, 2, 3.
Mom Game Out.
The Mom Game is proud to partner with local GEICO offices, Victoria Elliott, proudly serving your local community.